Welcome to Teach, Play, Love, hosted by Rachel Robertson and Claire Goss. During this episode, you'll hear from experts in the early education field about what really matters and what doesn't during your child's early development. Now, here are your hosts.
Rachel, so great to be with you in person.
You too.
And we have a great episode today on a topic I hear about all the time. I know I say that every month, but this really is an evergreen topic, and we got a listener question about it. So I'm going to read it aloud. This came in via email.
Hit me.
This email says, I'm really struggling with setting limits with my two-year-old. She's stubborn and determined and gets so upset when I have to say no to things, and she doesn't get her way. How do I navigate this stage? This is relatable.
Mm-hmm. So relatable.
So relatable.
Also so normal.
Very, very normal.
And supposed to happen.
Yes. Very typical behavior, but that doesn't make it any less tricky or like sticky feeling when you're in it. This is a really not fun side of parenting that I don't think we talk about enough.
Right. Well, developmentally, it's totally normal and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But also as a parent, it feels terrible.
Yeah.
And you love this little person and you don't want to be in these situations and you just want all the good stuff. So it puts you as a parent in a place you don't want to be, even though it is actually something your child needs to experience and you are the right person for it.
You're the person for it. Yeah. And I think there's some things where sometimes you have to set limits with your child and you feel confident about it because it's like a health or safety issue, right? Like hard limit. You have to wear your bike helmet. You have to put on a seatbelt in the car.
You cannot run out into the street.
Right. I will hold your hand in a parking lot. Those are easy. Well, I'm not going to say they're easy limits to set because the child can still have really strong opinions that you're wrong about it, even though you know in your heart of hearts that this is a health and safety issue.
You're not going to negotiate so much, though. They're not going to be able to say, I actually just once a week, can I run out into the street? Like, you're not going to, that's not going to be something that you feel like you're ever going to fold on. It's just, this is how it is.
This is how it is. But there's other limits we have to set as parents, where there's like more of a gray area, like can I have 10 more minutes with my iPad or can I please have an extra cookie with like the little puppy dog eyes? And you're like, I don't know. And then they get upset and then you feel awful. And like, these aren't the good feelings I wanted to have as a parent today.
And it's easy. If you say yes, it's an easier moment to get through. Long term, you're going to give yourself some consequences, but you do in the moment and especially end of the day or on the drive home, you've got that decision fatigue going strong yourself as a parent. So you just want to just kind of overcome these hurdles.
That's right.
And they know, and again, they're supposed to be doing it. They know, they figure out quickly how to manipulate that situation in not an intentional way. They're learning about how the rules of human interaction work. So this is part of it. They're experimenting on you and they're seeing what they can do and what will happen.
So why do we have to do this?
Yeah.
Why is it good for their development?
They also don't really understand their young children don't have that much in tune with their own needs and exactly who they are and what makes sense and how to delay gratification. So all that's happening too. Like they actually think it's the end of the world sometimes if they can't have another cookie because they can't say tomorrow's another day. They don't know how to think like that. So they're going to put it to you as if like this is a crisis level situation and it's up to you to manage the immediate and the long term.
Yes, but we know you're not, even though you feel like it in the moment, I can feel it in my chest because I'm, you know, my kids are older, but I'm still setting limits constantly. Mm-hmm. In that moment when you have to look at your child and say, no, this is the rule. This is the boundary. This is the limit. It feels awful.
It does feel awful. Yeah.
It feels terrible. So I have to remind myself constantly that it is good for them. It's good for their development. So let's talk a little bit about why that is. Research is on our side with this one.
Definitely. It is good for them. And I have older kids. Both my kids are in their 20s and I sometimes am still setting limits and it still feels awful. I still remember some of the times when they were younger that I had to do it and it was a pretty significant moment. And one time I actually drove down the street and pulled over and just had to sit there with myself for about a half hour saying, like, I'm not going back on it. I'm not going back on it. I am not going back on it. But I couldn't move forward. Literally, quite literally, I had to just sit in the car and talk myself through it.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And your kids will tell you all sorts of things, how much they hate you, unless you're doing something egregious. That is sometimes a compliment. That is saying you've given me some boundaries and I'm pushing up against them. But one of the things I guess the research would tell us is that it's important to share is that setting boundaries for children is helping them learn about the world. So this is how they're figuring out what are the rules, what are social rules, social norms, how do I behave in this situation. They don't have, or they're developing their delay, they're learning how to delay gratification. They have a lot of impulse control issues. So they're, the way that they will learn this is through natural consequences and having some natural boundaries. You can't have that before dinner, or we can't change the schedule every day, or you can't spend more time on your iPad or whatever it is because of this is how it works. And these are the plans we have. We've already agreed to this. That's helpful for them. Mm-hmm. That's how they figure out how to navigate the world.
Yeah.
So much that they'll start to not be able to even explain it. They'll know how to behave. They know what the schedule of the day is. If it's constantly changing and there's no boundaries, they don't learn how the world works.
That's
they don't
learn
how to negotiate. They don't learn how to delay those gratification impulses. So it's really important for that reason. I always talk about kids don't know how to read a clock or a calendar.
Right.
And routine and structure is what helps them figure that out.
That's
and they feel safer within those boundaries.
Yeah.
If you think that you're going to be allowed to do whatever you want to do, those folks that grow up in that kind of situation actually have lower levels of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
They have struggling finding their identity, finding what they're good at, settling, all sorts of struggles in life. And you wouldn't, you know, intuitively understand that. But people with boundaries that have had to kind of create some moments of resilience and adversity to get over, they do better in life because
they
have built the skills to manage through those situations.
Yeah.
So you don't have to give them fake consequences or fake boundaries, but just real life boundaries are enough.
Totally.
For them to
like logical learn. Boundaries that make sense. Like things like, you know, last time you had 10 cookies before bed, there was a consequence to that. Or like, you know, we were chatting before we started recording. One of my limits that I was constantly setting with my children was we go to the playground and they'd be kind of physically wild. And then I try to go to the library right after that.
Right.
And they'd be running through the library with their outside voices and their outside feet. And I was like, I have to set a limit. This is not library behavior. They have to learn how to, like you said, they have to learn how to behave out in the world. There's different rules and boundaries and limits. And they're not, if you don't set the limits, someone else is going to set limits with them. And it's coming for them no matter what.
Yeah.
So
back to what we said at the beginning is you are the person to do this with them. That is the role of parenting. One of the main roles of parenting is it's actually not to be their best friend. It is to be their parent. They will find best friends elsewhere. You can be friendly and have a really strong, great relationship with them. But saying yes to your child all the time, especially if it's yes after a no, isn't something that's very helpful.
No.
Of course you can change your mind. Of course, you know, sometimes I was wrong. Sometimes I set a boundary because I was frustrated or made sense to me in the moment. So you can do that. Just be transparent about it. You know what I thought about what you said? I'm going to change my mind on this one.
And
we're
going to
do it.
Yeah.
Versus them getting you to change it by asking you for the 20th time.
Relatable.
Yeah.
You touched on something interesting, which is I hear a lot of buzzy talk about gentle parenting, which is, I think, this very popular form of parenting. And I think people think gentle parenting is like a parent who never sets limits.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true. The research that I've done on gentle parenting, it's really just another name for what we call authoritative parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Diane Bomrand came up with this framework for parenting back in the 1960s. It's been, you know, proven. This framework makes sense over and over again in different research studies. It's been around for decades. And she's got kind of two axes, kind of hard to explain in an audio medium, but two axes, and there's high and low warmth and nurturing and loving and like cuddliness and I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm a responsive parent. And then the other axis is limits, boundaries, just setting up those limits and boundaries that we know children need. So parents, you can be high and low on both of these types of parenting. And I hate to say gold star because there's no perfect way to parent anyone anywhere, but the best result impact that it has on kids, the best results we see in children, both academically, socially, everything across the line, are the children who receive authoritative parenting, which is high in limits. These are parents that say no, they set boundaries, and high in warmth and nurturing. And I think that's where the gentle parenting generally sits.
Yes.
Gentle parenting just means you're delivering limits and you're also responding to the feelings involved. It's like a nice dose of empathy with the limits.
Right. It's not a authoritarian approach. It's not my rules or no other options. It's not a lot of consequences, false consequences or timeouts or any kind of punishments. It's using the natural scenarios and situations to teach and provide the lessons and limits. And this is what kids are supposed to do. Yeah. They're supposed to figure out the world rules of the world. Okay. So they need to have the rules of the world to figure them out. So this is, just think of it as this is a child's job. They are experimenting constantly. We've talked about this multiple times. They're little scientists from the start. They are finding out, will she still say the same thing at the fifth time I ask this question?
Yep.
What if I just sneak in one more thing with my iPad or whatever it is after she shuts the door, he shuts the door for bedtime. What will happen then? It is a lot of experimenting and seeing where the real boundaries are and where the limits are. And that's what kids are supposed to do. And when we provide that for them in an empathetic, nurturing way, instead of you're in trouble for even thinking that you should challenge me, but just, I get it. This is your job. And yet here's where the boundary is. When we're able to provide that, then they can navigate it themselves later when they start to develop their own cognitive abilities to figure it out. So then they can regulate their behavior. So they don't need you to help them figure out how to behave in a library for the rest of their lives.
That's right.
Because you have helped them with that. So then when they go to the library on their own, they might make a different choice, but they sure would know what the boundaries are. They have internalized those boundaries. So you're providing the external limits for them when they don't have that. Mm-hmm. And then they will internalize them and have those, so they're not interrupting a teacher or they're getting their homework in on time or whatever it is. It leads to all of these things. And there's some other negative consequences too. If, you know, we could have health issues if you're indulging with food situations. Kids are hearing a lot fewer words. If they're having too much screen time, they're not in really rich dialogue with people and getting literacy and language development. So it's not just that you're not setting limits. If that's a negative in and of itself. There's consequences to the indulging in the things that aren't actually that good for them.
That's right. I think in case there's any listeners who aren't convinced yet that this is a good thing, I did pull some research and there are studies that show that the role of external boundaries really do increase self-control. That's that, you know, those, we've had another episode about that. Check out our previous episode on executive function skills and the importance of impulse control. So like you said, so we've got studies to support that parents who set limits with love have children who have better self-control. Mm-hmm. They're better at managing their feelings. So you still have those big feelings, but they get better and better. The more practice they have with limits and boundaries, the better they get at managing those big feelings. They also are more respectful of other people's boundaries, right? Isn't that something we all want for our children?
Yes.
When you let them practice what boundary setting is with you, then you're sending your child off to kindergarten for a second grade someday, preschool, and a child in their class, a peer says, don't do that anymore. Or that's not the rule. And they're more likely to be like, oh, this is I know about that.
Yeah.
That's a thing that rings a bell. Like we have that in my house too. So we just know that it leads to healthier relationships in the long term, both between you and your child, like you mentioned.
Yep.
And with other people. We want our kids to go out in the world and have good relationships with folks.
Yeah. So we want them to be a good friend, be able to make friends and be a good friend themselves, interact with adults appropriately. And all of this helps them do that. So maybe that feels less bad if you can remember that in a situation when you're having to set a limit or remind about a limit. You're seeing big picture all the benefits of that behavior on your part rather than dealing with it moment to moment. That doesn't mean you're going to avoid all the crises. You are probably going to have some moment like I did where you have to pull over and just really have a talk with yourself about how you're not going to cave in even though you really, really want to. I mean, I remember seeing my kids in tears and just saying, where's my role here? Am I helping or hurting the situation by trying to fix it for them? It gets all the way into that, you know, over fixing things for your children, but giving them the skills to be able to do it. And it starts here. This is where it starts. It starts with a limit.
Right.
So with empathy, you can dry your child's tears. You can give them a hug, but are you the one that needs to fix it? And that starts right here when you're setting limits when they're little.
I love that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the how we set limits. Rachel and I have got some great tips for you.
Nothing is more magical than a childhood filled with days of play, learning, exploration and discovery. At Bright Horizons, we think of childcare as a chance to help a child experience it all. Our teachers go beyond the usual, ensuring your child has an enriching, satisfying day. They take the time to listen, engage, encourage, and celebrate the wins, big and small. At Bright Horizons, we put the care in childcare. Visit brighthorizons.com to find a center near you. Welcome back to Teach, Play, Love with Rachel Robertson and Claire Goss. We hope this episode is supporting your parenting journey. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back for the strategy portion of our conversation. Right. So when I work with parents, Bright Horizons parents, we talk about limit setting. It's hard. It's sticky. It's tricky. Insert your favorite adjective. Once we've accepted that this is something that has to happen, how do we do it, Rachel? What are our hot tips for parents who are struggling with setting limits?
So you definitely want to be thinking about it now. So good that you're listening to this and thinking about it now ahead of a situation happening.
Yeah.
You don't want to decide on limits in the heat of a moment where you're feeling really frustrated, because that's not going to be a good situation for anybody.
No.
So you want to be as clear as you can about your own limits, as a, where you're going to draw the limits, where you're setting limits, what's okay as a family. Mm-hmm. Talk to your partner, whoever else is involved in your parenting village, and decide together on what are some limits you can be consistent about, and that matter to your family. Not everyone's going to have the same
That's
limits,
right.
and that is okay too. But do this ahead of time. Make sure you remove as many times as you'd have to say no as possible. So if just pay attention, you can even do a time study. We do this in a classroom where you're just paying attention to, when do I say no? When am I redirecting my child the most? When are things becoming confrontational, or we're always having a situation?
Yeah.
Is there too much breakable stuff around? Is there things I don't want them to touch, but they're always sitting out? Is there an area of the house I hate having a mess in, but they are always making a mess there? That's called creating a yes environment. Solve those problems so you can say yes more often than you say no. So then you remove a lot of the need for some limits and or no conversations, because you've just created this yes environment. You want an environment children can thrive and succeed in. So if they need to get some dishes for the table, put the dishes at a place that they can access them, because you might say one of the limits in this house is you can't climb on the countertops. But they can't get to the things they need, maybe.
Right.
So solve those problems. Think of it like that. Set them up for success so they can put stuff away, so they can access the stuff they need. So you're getting rid of a lot of things there.
Mm-hmm.
I think choices are the most magical tool you have as a parent for anything. So you don't have to say no. So your child could come down, speaking about one of my children, if they listen to this, they'll know which one it is. They could come down in a hot pink dress and cowboy boots and maybe like a bandana wrapped around their head for a school day in the middle of winter and say they're ready to go.
Uh-huh.
And you could say, here's the choices. You don't even have to say no. Here's the choices for today's weather. Let's look at the weather. Here are the choices. Do you want to wear this outfit that we picked out last night?
Uh-huh.
Or do you want to choose something else that has long sleeves with it and pants? You're not saying no. You're just saying, here are the appropriate, these are the limits. Here are the two choices that we have. You're not critiquing the choice that was made.
Nope.
You're not getting into a power struggle over it. And even engaging them potentially in, well, let's look at the weather. What do you think might happen if, you know, what choices should we make here? And let them do some thinking in that situation.
So you're giving the power back to them.
Yes, exactly.
Really like
and
that.
They don't necessarily know that that's what you're doing there, but you're avoiding this power struggle, which is one thing you definitely want to do as much as you possibly can. So any kind of choices. So we can't do that. You can even say something like, we can't do that, or that's not a choice we have right now, but here are some choices we have. Don't give them too many choices, two, maybe three choices.
Mm.
And having that power and some control is so magical for children.
Yeah.
And then they learn within the confines of the choices what's acceptable, but they do still get to say something. Be clear.
Yeah.
Use simple directions.
Yes.
If you need them to do something, tell them what you want them to do versus what you want them to stop doing.
That's a really good one. Can you give an example of that? Because that one can be hard to remember in the moment.
Yeah. So I'll just use an example that I see all the time in public places too, but also in a childcare center program is, inside, we need to walk instead of stop running.
Stop running versus
inside, we need to walk.
Yep.
when we're next to each other, let's use just a talking voice instead of stop yelling. So just right. change it around into what the limit is and what the behavior is you're looking for.
Right.
You can also ask, right? I could say, oh, that feels a little loud on my ears. What volume do you think is the right volume for the library or wherever you are?
You can tell this is a sticky place for Claire with parenting.
Yeah. So then you get them involved in the solution, and that will depend on the age they are, but as much as you can get them involved in recalling. So then they're doing a little cognitive functioning here where they have to recall the rule that you've already put in place in another situation and then apply it. That's really good for their own development.
Yeah. I think another tip I can give parents is I find that it's really hard to think of setting limits this way, but it can actually be a point of connection with your child. Mm-hmm. It could be, if you think about it, if you just decide to open yourself up to this as an opportunity, it doesn't feel like a good moment of connection because typically people are frustrated and disappointed. Right. But you can get down on their level. That's one thing. Like the towering over your child saying a limit
so important.
Is really destructive to the relationship in the moment. Not like, I'm not talking about you've destroyed your relationship with your child forever, but in that moment, it doesn't feel good. And that's something we have our teachers do sometimes. Get down on the floor and see how you look towering over. It can be very, very intimidating for a child. So getting down to your child's level. And then there's some great work out of the Devereaux Center for Resilient Children on the Flip It method, which is really just a fun acronym to remember in the moment. So Flip It is feelings and then limits. So you as the parent are going to start with the feeling. I can see you're really like getting down level. Rachel, you seem really frustrated right now. And giving them those juicy words to use, that feelings vocabulary in the moment. There's so many good things happening here. You're reinforcing connection. You're modeling empathy. You're giving them the feelings vocabulary they need to someday maybe do the same thing to a friend. Mm-hmm. So you seem really sad right now. I can tell from your balled up fists that you're really angry. Yeah, you really wanted to run down the hall. It's just tricky, right? I know it's really tricky, but that's not safe for other people. What can we do instead? Mm-hmm. Right? Do a little inquiry. That's the I and Flip It. And then if they can't think of what they can do instead, you can use a prompt. I think we can try walking like puppies with our puppy feet, our soft puppy feet down the hall, whatever it is. But just reminding yourself of feeling, getting down their level, trying to connect with them, they're more likely to accept the limit if they feel like you've connected with them first.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just across the board, always true with kids.
And we absolutely, as educators, spend more time at a child's level in a classroom than we are standing up tall in a classroom because it makes such a difference in connection. But even things where you're just really thinking about this child as a capable participant in the situation, and that they deserve the respect of where they are developmentally, but that they do still have opinions and especially as they get older, they have lots of opinions. But we even would think about if you're picking up a baby to maybe change them, that you still tell them. Yes. You don't just pick them up and move them aside. So you're showing them respect for who they are as a person and that they get a little bit of say in the situation. Yeah. And if you establish that from the start, or as soon as you're listening to this, you haven't done it already, that goes a long way in those conversations then you're having about limits. If you haven't set limits yet and you're listening to this now, and because I do, when I do parent education things, I get a lot of questions about this too. I remember someone asking me a question about, well, when my daughter's sitting at her own table in the dining room on her own schedule for meal, and she's had the meal that she's requested and then she's refusing to eat it, what do I do? So there's a lot of things that could, if you back up there, you've let go of a lot of limits to get that situation.
That's right.
So if you're in that situation where you've already let go of a lot of limits unknowingly, probably just happens slowly over time.
Totally. It's happened to me, yeah.
So just figure out one or two of them to peel back at a time. And it will be tricky. It'll be harder if you haven't started it, but you're going to get through it. You are absolutely going to get through it.
Totally.
You don't have to stick to your guns and never bend. Like I said, you can change your mind. I've done that plenty of times with my kids. And especially as they've gotten older, there's been times that they're totally right. I am actually overthinking or overdoing it. So just saying that, you know, I've thought about this. I've thought of a way forward. I didn't think of that yesterday. I'm going to change my mind. So again, you're not just changing because of the incessant pressure for
right.
to change.
Because then that's what they're learning about boundaries. They're learning if I nag someone, they'll eventually change their mind. It's not that.
Yeah. I've listened to what you had to say, and I'm glad we talked about it. And I'm going to propose this new solution or let's try it this way. So you can do things like that. Absolutely. And just thinking about, you know, that situation again, where a child has their own table, their own meal, their own time, all navigated over, you know, just without someone even noticing how far off
it does. That's a great example. Setting.
Just one at a time. Just maybe it's, maybe you're changing the meal, but they're still going to have their own time and their own table for a while, or just slowly reel it back a little bit to a place that you as a parent feel that you're not just in service to demands or requests, because that isn't healthy for you as a parent. And they're not getting the feedback that need from life about how to learn about limits and eventually be able to set their own internal limits. And you're going to be real glad you did this when they're older, when they're in high school, when they're out there on the loose. That's what I always say about my kids. They're out there on the loose in the world. They're making decisions without me. But they're doing a pretty good job for the most part. And I think some of it is in anyone listening, anyone, all of us who are adults right now living life in the world. We had parents that helped help us or the world somehow helped us set some limits. So just know that long term that this is a really helpful. We always say this, but you are growing adults and you want them to be able to do these things when they don't have you near them to navigate everything in life.
Calling all curious minds, mud pie makers, and yes, silly gooses. The serious business of preschool awaits. At Bright Horizons, preschool sets the stage for school success. We know that children flourish when they can be their own authentic selves. That's why our teachers provide the academic and emotional support to build your child's confidence and love of learning. We even offer flexible schedules. Visit brighthorizons.com to find a center near you. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teach, Play, Love. We hope today's content has been inspirational and helped support your parenting. Until next time.